5. Herbie Fisher was up early the next morning. He ordered his car from the garage for 9 a.m., then he showered, shaved, and returned to his bedroom, where he made love to Allison, Stone's associate and Herbie's girlfriend for the past few months. He was dressed and ready to go when Willie and Jimmy Leahy arrived. They renewed their acquaintance, then Herbie gave them coffee and sat them down. "Did Stone tell you anything about what we're doing today?"
"Not much," Willie said.
Willie usually did all the talking for his brother.
"He said you wanted us to talk to some people."
"Not exactly," Herbie said. "I'm going to do the talking. Your job will be to stand there and look just a tiny bit menacing."
"We can do that," Willie replied.
"Okay," Herbie said. "We're off to New Haven." He led them to the elevator and down to the garage.
"What is that?" Willie asked, pointing. "It looks like an overgrown Mercedes."
"It is an overgrown Mercedes," Herbie replied. "But it's called a Maybach. One of you drive, I'll sit in the back." Herbie settled into the back seat and called out directions to Jimmy, who was at the wheel. Then he put on a headset and tuned in WQXR, the classical station. Herbie loved sitting in the back seat. No one at Woodman and Weld knew that he owned this car. He felt it was not good policy to outdo the partners. They stopped in front of Dink Brennan's dormitory at the stroke of 11.
"What if our boy is in class?" Willie asked.
"My guess," Herbie said, "is that our boy didn't make it to class this morning or on many other days. Let's go." He hopped out of the car and walked over to a van parked close by, which bore the name Wynwood Farm on its door. He rapped on the passenger window and it slid down. Two men in green hospital garb sat inside.
"Are you Mr. Fisher?" one of them asked.
"That's right," Herbie replied. "We're going upstairs to speak with the young man. Give me your cell number." Herbie tapped it into his iPhone. "I'll call if we need you," he said. "Did you bring a straitjacket as requested?"
"In the back," the driver said.
"I'll also let you know if we'll need it."
The window slid back up. Herbie led the Leahys into the dorm and looked up Dink Brennan in the directory. Then they took the elevator to the fourth floor and found the boy's suite. Herbie knocked on the door and got no answer. He tried the door, but it was locked.
"Anybody know how to get this open without breaking it down?"
Willie produced a credit card-sized sheet of plastic and, in a flash, had the door open. They walked into the sitting room, which looked as though a hurricane had swept through it.
"Ugh,"
Jimmy Leahy said, uttering his first sound of the morning. Herbie opened the bedroom door and walked in. Both beds were disheveled, and one contained a large lump. Herbie drew back the sheet.
"Hey, Dink!"
he yelled close to the young man's ear.
"Huh?"
the boy said, lifting his head from the pillow.
"Yeah? Who are you guys?"
He sat up.
"Oh, I get it. You're from Carlo. Tell him I'll have the money in a few days." "Get on your feet, Dink,"
Herbie said, and the boy obediently got out of bed and stood there, awkwardly.
"Have a seat at your desk," Herbie said.
Dink did so. Herbie produced two documents and a pen.
"Sign these."
"What are they?"
Herbie slapped him smartly on the back of the head.
"Questions later. Sign them."
Dink signed his name.
"Willie, Jimmy, witness, please, in the spaces provided."
The Leahys did so while Dink looked nervously at Herbie. Herbie tucked the documents into his pocket, walked over to a leather club chair, swept it free of dirty clothes, and sat down.
"If you're not from Carlo, who are you?" Dink asked.
"We're not from Carlo," he said. "We're the good guys. The bad guys come later, if you and I don't have a satisfactory conversation."
"I don't get it,"
Dino said, now fully awake.
"I'm your new attorney,
Herbie said. Don't worry. Your father is paying.
Paying for what?
For my getting you out of this terrible fix you're in.
Dink shook his head.
I'm not in any kind of fix. All I have to do is pay the bookie.
How much do you owe him? Herbie asked.
I don't know exactly, Dink said. But I can handle it.
How will you handle it, Dink? Are you dealing drugs?
Of course not, Dink replied.
Do you have any other source of income? Other than your father, I mean.
No. Why do I need a lawyer?
To get you out of the treatment center.
What treatment center? It's called Wynwood Farm. I understand it's a lovely place.
Treatment? For what?
For an addiction to gambling and the drug of your choice, which is cocaine, isn't it?
I snort a little now and then, Dink said.
Yeah, sure. Let's cut to the chase, Dink. Your father loves you and he's very concerned about you. That's why we're here instead of the bookie. He's going to pay off the bookie and, oh, by the way, how much do you owe your dealer?
Not a dime, Dink said. He insists on cash.
That makes it simpler, Herbie replied. Now, the two documents you just signed are these. A durable power of attorney giving me control over all your affairs, including your relationship with Yale, and a self-commitment form making you a residential patient at Wynwood Farm, which is only a few miles from here.
I'm not going any loony bin, the boy said.
Jimmy, Herbie said, pack Dink a small bag, just some underwear, a change of clothes, and his slippers. That's all he'll need.
Jimmy went to a closet, found a small duffel, and rifled a chest of drawers.
Got it all, he said, zipping the bag shut.
Now, Dink, Herbie said, I want you to write a nice letter to the dean of students of this establishment, apologizing for your record at Yale and telling him that you are leaving school at this time to get some help, but that you expect to return for the fall semester.
I'm not writing that, Dink said, and I'm not going to the funny farm.
There are two strong men downstairs with a straitjacket waiting for my call, Herbie said. You want to do this the easy way or the hard way?
Dino looked nervously at Willie and Jimmy.
I don't want any trouble.
Good. Now get dressed, and we'll be on our way. Don't worry about the letter to the dean. I'll write that later.
Herbie found a pair of scissors in a desk drawer, extracted four credit cards from Dink's wallet, and cut them in half. He produced a plastic bag and put Dink's money, wallet, and keys into it. Then he led the boy downstairs and surrendered him to the two gentlemen from the funny farm.
Dink, Herbie said, handing him his card, in a few weeks you're going to be feeling a lot better about yourself, and when that finally happens, give me a call, and we'll talk about your future. In the meantime, if there's anything I can do for you, besides getting you released, just let me know.
Dink got into the van, and Herbie gave the driver the contents of Dink's pockets. The van pulled away, and Herbie and the Leahys got back into Herbie's car.
That was easy, Willie said.
It's about to get harder, Herbie replied. Now, let's get back to New York, to Little Italy.